Good afternoon, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good? Everybody full from lunch? Good stuff out there. How cool is that showroom floor, by the way, too? There's so much going on. The Darwin area, a lot to do there, a lot of cool stuff to learn. Without any further delay, our next our speaker for this session is going to be Michaela Hutchinson, and she is the technical product manager on the platform team with Xamarin. And I think today she's going to teach you how to become the studio expert. I can't read, apparently. So without anything else, here's Michaela, everybody.
Hi. So who here has seen my talk from the previous Evolve? A few? OK. Who saw my talk from the first Evolve? Who saw my talk at Monkey Space back when Xamarin Studio was called MonoDevelop? Okay. Well, I have lots to teach you all. Even if you've seen this before, there will be something for you. This is a difficult talk to get right, I feel. I've given it several times, and I always try and make sure there's something for everyone. People who are new to the IDE, people who've been using it for years, and I try and make sure it's interesting for everyone and that you all come away and learn something. Because this has been a passion of mine for many years. Before I was a product manager, I used to work on the Xamarin Studio team. And I actually have a bit of a stammer. You might notice that from time to time. Ironically, it's particularly bad when I say Xamarin Studio, so you might. So when I say XS, I mean Xamarin Studio, and when I say VS, I mean Visual Studio. Also, that'll help me keep the time down a bit, because I have a lot to fit in. One of the things I really love about developer tools is that we help you to build great apps. So everything we do that makes it easier to write code, that makes your life easier every day. And watching people write apps in Xamarin Studio is really rewarding. But I often see people who are doing things in a way that's, they could do it faster, they could do it easier in a way that the IDE would help them out, do it more accurately in a less error-prone way. And it's understandable, because an IDE is an incredibly complex thing. And even though I've been working on Xamarin Studio in some form or another since 2006 or so, I still don't know all the features. So it's completely understandable that no one does. The important thing is to be able to learn what kind of features there are, and then you can go looking for them when you need to do something. So I'm going to start out by telling you what is new, because we have a lot of exciting things in our new release. We put out the release candidate just this morning. We also put out a preview of the next version, which is also very cool. I'm going to be covering some of the foundational principles for those of you who are just beginning to start out, and also because it's good to make sure those are really solid so we can build on top of them. And I'm going to be explaining how to find the advanced features. I'm going to be showing you a lot of really cool ones, but I'll also be explaining how to find the ones that I'm not telling you about. And at the end, there will be a special surprise. I won't spoil that right now, but I think it's pretty cool, and I hope you do too. And there are a lot of things I won't be telling you, because this session is only 45 minutes long, so I will not be giving you lists of keyboard shortcuts. And the reason is, it's important to find ones that matter to you. I only remember a couple dozen. Everyone has different things they do a lot, and you want to know the keyboard shortcuts for the things that you personally do a lot. I'm not going to be telling you every feature and setting. That would be impossible. And I'm not going to tell you the secrets of life, because I don't know, but I did this course a couple of years ago, and it was super cool. So if you're interested in that, check it out. So the new version is very shiny. The dark theme is beautiful. The team did fantastic work on that. That was our top feature request for a long, long, long time. So when we did it, we wanted to make sure we got it right. And it looks fantastic. The code completion system is now based on Roslyn. So you can use Roslyn analysis rules, and the compiler is more resilient to errors, and the code completion is more accurate. It's a great foundation for future work we're doing, but it's fantastic right now. And it's a noticeable experience, a noticeable improvement in the code completion experience. This next one is something that is, I feel very strongly about. A lot of people don't. It's kind of an internal detail, the way that the project system works. But if you have advanced features, if you're customizing your build system, if you've edited your MS Build project files by hand, the IDE is just going to reflect those much more accurately. And it won't be rewriting the project files in unnecessary ways, so you won't keep on having to revert changes when you switch back and forth between XS and VS. It's also asynchronous. The code completion is asynchronous. If you're fantastically fast at typing, I would be envious of that. I'm not, but if you are, then the code completion window is not going to block your typing. It's particularly important for things like F-sharp as well, because F-sharp, in some cases, the type inference is so complex that the code completion window can take several seconds to show. So instead of beachballing, we just let you carry on typing, and the completion window pops up when it's ready. And the asynchronous support is actually all throughout the IDE. We've been recommending for years that you all use async support, and we finally retrofitted it to as much as we could. So it should be a much smoother experience overall. And F-sharp. Our F-sharp team has done fantastic work. You can now, you know, have shared projects, syntax highlighting in the F-sharp interactive window. Find references works across F-sharp and C-sharp. There's all sorts of good stuff in there. So first of all, I'm going to do a quick demo of some of the core foundational features. My demos are not going to be too long, because I don't like just staring at a screen the whole talk. But yeah, so this is Xamarin Studio Community Edition. I am using this just to show that it has all the features of the professional version. And I'm just going to start out by opening this really cool sample app that we created. You can go and find this on our website. So this is the workspace. And here, it looks very empty right now. You can see up there in the notification bar, it is updating resources. OK. One second, excuse me. I created another profile so you couldn't see all my private stuff, and I forgot to enable zooming. And zooming is pretty useful. Okay, there we go. Okay, that's better. Okay, so that is the notification bar. It shows you when things are happening, when it's compiling, when it's updating NuGet packages, and so on. Down here, we have the solution pad. So the workspace is actually made up of pads, which are these things at the side that show you various things that are peripheral to the main thing you're working on, which is your code. So this is the solution pad, of course. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this already. I'm going to switch it to iPhone, because this simulator starts up a lot faster than the Android one. And if we look at the iOS app here, double click on that, here is a document. And so the workspace is essentially documents surrounded by pads. And down here we have auto hidden pads. This is actually a cool feature here. Anytime you copy text from the editor, it shows up in the clipboard ring. So if I just copy that right there, it's text I just copied. These are some things I copied earlier when I was preparing my demo. So I could actually have this in my clipboard, but that thing that was previously in my clipboard is still here, and I can just drag it into the into the file. That's a cool little feature that not many people know about, and that was also a bit of a tangent. I tend to do that a lot. There are so many cool features I want to show people, I get distracted quite easily, because there are so many cool things, and a lot of them people don't know about. So this is the properties pad. You can set properties of your files. It's important for the build actions. So the build, you can actually set multiple build, you can set the build actions on multiple files at the same time. So for example, if I wanted to temporarily remove these files from the build, I could set the build action to none. And when I built, those files would not be included in the build. You can also set this from the properties pad. Look down here. You can set the build action there. But it's convenient that the very common ones, the copy to output and the build action, are accessible from the solution pad. OK, so we have a document open here. And if we open another document, one of the really cool features is actually that you can drag this off and split. Or if you have multiple monitors, you could even drag it into a separate window and put it on another monitor. That's really useful if you're, say, using the designer and code behind, for example. We also have this concept called layouts. Now, a layout is essentially a configuration of pads. So if there's a particular pad layout that you like to use for certain tasks, like unit testing, for example, you can switch layouts. And you can see here that the unit testing layout has unit tests and test results. And then I can switch back to the solution view for editing code again. And you can actually save your own layouts. There are a couple of special ones, the visual design and debug. And those are the IDE automatically switches to those when you're debugging or when you're using the designer. Any changes you make to those are persisted. There isn't actually an easy way to completely reset them to their original state. But if you lose some of the pads, you can actually go down here. And so here's all of the available pads. So if you wanted to see, for example, the unit tests pad, even in your solution layout, you can bring that up. And you can also auto-hide the pads by double-clicking. When they're auto-hidden, they're down there. You hover, they appear. So that's pads. There is a special kind of pad, though, which is the search results pad. So if I search, and I did that with one of the few key bindings I know, maybe this is a good place to explain key bindings. OK, so keyboard shortcuts, there are a few, like find in files. That's one I remember because I use it a lot. That is Shift Command F in the Mac idiom. So any of the commands in the menus have keyboard bindings. But there's also a lot of commands that aren't in the menus. And you can actually find commands via this global search. This global search is one of my favorite things. You can see here it has a little press command dot to search. So that one, hopefully, it's right there on the screen, so you don't even need to remember it. Or you can click if you want. So command dot to search, I can type, say, find in files. And here we can see that as well as it found some code in my solution, some fields that have the word find in them. It also has commands. There's a, so the find in files command is there. There's the, and then there's, you can also just actually initiate a search directly from that. And that's equivalent to doing find in files and searching for that string. So that would have been the same as doing find in files, then searching for the word find, and same result. So this is another useful feature that not many people know about. So any pad, this is a kind of pad called a transient pad. So these are pads that you won't find in the pad options because they're created on demand. It doesn't make sense to show the search results unless you have actual search results to show. And the same for things like application output. So they're created when you do a search or when you run your app. But there are some. What if you do another search and you want to keep your results from the first one? Something very useful you can do is that you can pin that. And then if you do another search, it actually keeps the previous pad and creates a new pad for the next search results. And as long as you leave that pinned, it'll stay there. Okay, so now we're just gonna have a quick look at the preferences. So this is how you make the ID look and behave the way that you want it to. Obviously, the first thing I'm gonna do is change it to the wonderful new dark theme. I need to restart it for that to take effect. Here we go, the wonderful new dark theme. And here we go. And it has a fantastic matching theme for the editor as well. But there's actually several more of those. And there's a lot of editor options that aren't on by default that I like to use. For example, we now actually turn on the source analysis by default, so I don't have to tell everyone how to do that. So that's shortened my talk a little bit. But there's a lot of other useful things that we don't turn on by default. Like, for example, I like to have the line that I'm working on highlighted, just so that I don't lose my caret. I also like to have the indentation guides, which you can see here. Just show little lines showing your indentation. Just makes the editor that more structured. I also like to have code folding on. There's a lot of features in here. And by looking around, you can find lots of good things. And here's the syntax highlighting that I mentioned. So this is our standard light theme and our dark theme. But we have a lot of other cool ones. And you can actually create new ones. And then you can edit them. And you can set the colors for any of these things that you want. And you can export them and import them. One feature that is probably a little more difficult to find than it should be is that we can actually load Visual Studio color schemes. So if you go to Studio Styles, for example, there are some very popular color schemes. For example, the Son of Obsidian one. I can download this. Then I can add, and to make it show up, you actually have to go into options and select visualstudio.net settings. Then you can, okay. And unfortunately, the extension that they're downloaded with isn't quite right. So if I rename this, just remove that extension there. This is probably something we should fix. And often I notice these little things at the wrong times. OK, this worked earlier. OK, well, it's definitely possible to get that to work, because I did have it working. I was using that exact color scheme. I may have been using the preview, though. So check that out in the preview. OK, so I'm kind of running out of time for my demos. There are a lot of things I wanted to show you. I think I covered all of the important ones except key bindings. So all these commands that we have, there's a huge list of commands here. And there's a lot of interesting hidden ones. Like, for example, if you want to if you want to show the minimap, what is the minimap? Well, I'll show you that in a moment. I can assign, for example, command alt M, command option M, apply that. I go to the editor and do command option M. And here we have the minimap, supposedly. The minimap should be OK. Oh, it is there. It's just this very, very, very faint on this theme. There we go. There is a minimap. I'm going to switch themes so you can see that, because it's actually a super cool feature. Theme, syntax highlighting, light. There we go. So here, you can see, as I scroll up and down, the minimap has a little preview of my code. So that's just one of those cool hidden features that not many people know about. And I wish we could make them all easier to find. But unfortunately, it's not that easy. There are just too many of them. OK, so we covered the workspace. We talked about pads, documents, and layouts. We talked about pad pinning and creating custom layouts and importing VS settings themes, though that didn't work, and I'm not sure why. But if you want to see that, I'm sure I can show it to you afterwards. We also talked about file properties, and I skipped MS Build custom tools because they take a little while to demo, and I try to fit too much into my demos. I also skipped over this thing, over showing you to it in person. But so there are three kinds of settings. So preferences are what you find in the preferences dialog. They are the things like syntax highlighting. They affect the way you work, things like editor behavior, the things that change your day-to-day experience. There's also project options in the project options dialog. These affect how the app is built. Things like compiler options, whether you're using LVM and so on. Those are in the project file because they needed to build your app on CI and so on, or other people on your team. Make sure you actually have the app built the way you want. The third kind of option is a little more complicated. These are policies. And policies you will find both in the preferences and in the options. And the way you can tell them apart is that they have a little header that has a dropdown for various predefined sets of policies. And policies are about style. So they're about things like the way the code is formatted. And those, they are a matter of personal choice, but you also want everyone on your team to have the same setting for that, or else everyone's just reformatting the code all the time. So those are in preferences. And the policies and preferences are used when you create new solutions. So those new solutions are created with your preference for how the policies should be. But once you've created a project, your preferences don't affect that. So if you want to change the code style on a project, you should go and change that in the solution options. It cascades down to the projects. If you happen to have a legacy project that maybe uses a different code style, you can override the policies, the formatting policies, and so on a per project level. And the most important thing, if there's one thing you remember from this talk, it should be global search. This is a key binding. And that you can use to find files, types, commands. You can use it to find NuGet packages. I didn't mention, but there's a couple of cool hidden features. If you type file, colon, then a search, it will only search for files. If you do another colon at the end of the file name and type a number, it'll jump to that line number. It's very powerful. So I'm going to do another quick demo on debugging and editing features. I'm going to demonstrate the editing features and talk briefly about the debugging features. OK, so I've already browsed around this project a bit. And so these little buttons here, I can actually use to navigate back and forwards. But in the search, you can find the history of all the files you've been in. It's just like a web browser. It's useful when you're debugging and you step into things, or when you do go to declaration and navigate to a file, or in this case, navigate to an assembly. The assembly browser is actually capable of decompiling things, which is pretty cool. So if I navigate to another file in this solution with command D, that shortcut, then I can just go back to where I was. And there is a key binding for that. I don't remember it. But you can, of course, just go and look in the in here, and there's navigate back. Or I could actually just do navigate. I could use this to do that. And OK, there we go. That navigated me back into the assembly browser. OK, so when editing code, there are all sorts of useful things you can do. A lot of these are, so we have the Roslyn source analysis rules. I'm going to go into the data source here. I think had some warnings. OK, somewhere down here, I had a file with warnings. Here we go. So this bar here shows you the source analysis warnings. So we have the Roslyn compiler running in the background, parsing your code and analyzing it. And then we have a huge number of source analysis rules that are running on that to try and look for potential issues in your code and help you fix them. And here, it shows you where in your file are the warnings. And if you click on this thing, it'll just skip you through them. It skips you through warnings first. Warnings, for example, are orange, and hints are blue. So the first one, for example, down here, if I right-click on this, we have a fix menu. So here, it's using a string.startsWith. But string.startsWith, by default, is culture-aware. So it thinks that you should be explicit here about whether you're using an ordinal compare, which will work the same on every machine and will be faster, or current culture, which you would use for actually like translated strings you're showing to your users. So here, if I just do add that, and it actually fixes that, and then the warning goes away immediately. So then I'm going to go to the next one. There's actually a command for this, which is, I think it's function. OK, let's go and look for that. OK, so next issue in file. So it's function opt down. So this will actually cycle me through all of the issues. So here we have a huge row of issues. These are actually all unnecessary. It's redundant, because you're allowed to not have those. So I'm going to fix that. So I could do that. However, we have this other, that, because that's such a common command, has a keyboard binding, which is Alt-Enter. And that is one of my favorite keyboard bindings, Alt-Enter. So Down here, we can find fix all in document, and it fixes all of them in one go. Another way to do that particular one is block select. So if you hold down command and drag, wait, if you hold down opt and drag, you can actually make a block selection, and then you can just delete it. And you can even type in there. So that's one of those ones that I occasionally find it extremely useful. Okay, what else was I going to show you? Yes, Alt-Enter. Alt-Enter can do a lot more than just fixing issues. There's also several hundred code transformations. So you can actually find them in preferences down here in source analysis. These are all of the analysis rules we have. There's quite a lot of them. We're using refactoring essentials rules, which originally came from nRefactory and were ported to Roslyn and are now available also for VS. But we ship them by default out of the box. There's also all of these code actions, which are context dependent. And you can combine them in really interesting ways. So for example, one other option which I really love, which I'm going to turn on now, is in behavior. I want to, general, where is this? See, even I don't know where most of these things are. Okay, somewhere, code completion, show import items. It has a terrible name, and we're looking at fixing that. We're actually looking into fixing all the defaults and descriptions to be easier to understand. But yeah, what this one does, if I do like var hello equals file, now you can see there, file from IO. So I don't have a using system.io in this file, but file is still showing up in completion. And if I choose to enter that, it actually adds the using for me. And you can go up to the top and find that which was not in here, it's just tagged it on at the end. So file.opentext, and then, hello.txt. Okay, but this thing should really be inside a using. So Alt-Enter, put inside using. And then I'm going to do hello equals, hi equals hello dot read to end. OK, but now say I want to do something with that afterwards. It's in the wrong place. I can't access that hi from there. So I can do Alt-Enter, split declaration and assignment, then hold down Alt and hit the up arrow, and that moves the line. So here we go, and now I can just do, and then I can use CW, which is a code snippet, or a code template, as we call them, and then just hit tab, and then tab again, console.writeline. And then, you can see that I had code completion for the interpolated string. Something else you can see here is that these colors indicate that this is the same thing. So the editor lets you see all the places where this particular symbol is referenced in the file. We have here, so the red ones are where it's being defined or assigned, and the blue ones are where it's being referenced. So if you want to see where something's being assigned, it's very easy to see what's actually changing it. Another of my favorite features is expand selection. So this one is cool. So say this here, this string, I want to extract it to a constant. Alt-Shift up expands a selection on a logical scope, and Alt-Shift down switches it back down. So I can just place my caret in that string. Alt-Shift up to select it. Alt-Enter, introduce a constant. Type the new name. Command D to see it, and you can see here, I created a constant. So there's all sorts of really cool code actions. It would take days to show them all. And they're all context dependent, so I'd really suggest hitting Alt-Enter and see what shows up and try it out. There are some in places you might not expect them. Okay, another useful one. Okay, so you saw me use a code snippet with just cwtabtab. Now this, however, you can also surround existing code. So say I selected this line, Alt-Shift up, 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 that line. Now I can do edit surround with and type for, enter. And it's put that inside a for loop. I can change my variable name. It updates them all. So that's super cool. OK, and I think I massively overestimated how much I could fit in my demos. So I'm going to cut this one a little short and go back to my slides. OK, so we saw navigation history and how to navigate around, go to definition. There's also find references. There's keyboard shortcuts. They're all in the context menus, too. The block select, expand selection, moving lines, navigating by issues, code templates. You can create your own code templates if there are particular snippets you use a lot. The UI for creating those isn't super intuitive, but you can do it. There are also source control views, which I did not show you, but they show up at the bottom, just a little like, see the diff button at the bottom of the source editor. That's super useful. These things, yes, debugging. Breakpoints. You can create breakpoints for all sorts of things. Breakpoints, and you don't just, so breakpoints are more than just breaking on lines. You can also break on functions, or you can break on exceptions. So you can break on when like an explicit type of exception is thrown, or you could break on, say, a system function like console.writeline, and it'll break whenever your code calls console.writeline. So just use the new breakpoint button, and you get this window that lets you pick where you're going to break. What happens when you break? You can print something out, a log message. You can evaluate a condition to choose when you break. I covered this a bit more in my session last year, which in Evolve 2014, which is online. So I'd recommend checking that out. I covered slightly different things than I did in this talk. Some of the same, but some different things. And this, if there's a second thing you remember, this is the other key binding, Alt-Enter, for fixes and context actions. Really powerful. It can do literally hundreds of things from one key binding. So now I'm just going to show you the surprise very quickly. Does everyone want to see what the surprise is? Cool. OK, so Here is the surprise. Oh, wrong button. Okay, there we go. Right button. Okay, so. I'm going to close the solution. Don't save. Don't save. Okay. So over the weekend, So one of the things, so the IDE itself is actually built on a huge number of extensibility mechanisms. It's actually a collection of about 40 or 50 add-ins. And these add-ins can do all sorts of things, from creating new project types to adding new editor commands. Pretty much anything we do, you can do from an add-in. And these are all the built-in ones right here. But we also have an add-in gallery. And this is looking a little empty right now, because this is the brand new version that was just released this morning. But these are the add-ins that have already been published for it. And the old 5.10 release had a couple dozen add-ins that the people in the community have written. So there's some really cool functionality in this, like JSON copy, for example. I actually installed that already, because I wasn't sure if I'd have internet reliable internet or not, but I'll take a chance. Okay, so I can just, it's very simple. You do have to restart, though, after you uninstall. So, but you don't have to restart after you install them. It's just if you uninstall and reinstall the same add-in. So, here you go. So if I do add-ins, and then gallery, extensions, JSON copy, install. Good, the internet works. Then I'm going to open this again. And command dot find a JSON file. Here we go, a contents.json file. So I'm going to copy all of this. And now that add-in added a new command, which is in the edit menu. Well, I could just find that in global search. Paste JSON as classes. And it generated Newtonsoft JSON objects for deserializing those JSON deserializing the contents of this JSON file, which saves a ton of time compared to writing them by hand. And that exists because one of our community members went and wrote that. And I find that super inspiring because, like, we make tools to help everyone else do stuff better, but you all can too. And so there is so much I would love to talk about and I can't fit in my talk. And so I decided that I was going to make something that you all could use to learn more, like, on an ongoing basis. I used to write a blog series, and I don't know that people really follow RSS feeds anymore. So I decided to bring it, like, right into the workspace for you to get these tips and tricks every day. And so I wrote this add-in over the weekend. Add-ins are super easy to make. I actually wrote it with my add-in making add-in, which I wrote. So when I run this, it launches another instance of Xamarin Studio. And we have a tips window. And it has little animated GIFs of how things work. So for example, this is something I didn't talk about. I'm going to be putting as many things into this as I can. And if there are things you would like me to add to it, I can. So install this, and hopefully I'll put more than I could show you in a dozen talks in there. And that will be online later today. It's already on GitHub, but I'll publish it to the add-in, gallery, so you can just do add-ins, install add-in, and install it from there. So that was the add-in demo. So yeah, they are super cool. If you're interested in writing them, please come and talk to me, and I'll help you do that. And this is some of the ones that were in the previous version. Once they're ported, I'm hoping a lot of these will show up for Xamarin Studio 6 as well. So to wrap up, there are some, that is where you get my tips and tricks add-in. There is a guide to writing add-ins. The core is open source, so if you're interested in writing an add-in, there are loads of examples you can copy from in the existing open source core. There are also some other sessions I'd recommend you check out. The Visual Studio 2015 one later today from Amanda Silva. Casey Uhlenhut is talking about actually writing Roslyn analyzers. And Alex Corrado has a tips and tricks session for the iOS designer. If you have any feedback at all on how we can make things better, I would love to hear it. Please feel free to contact me directly. My job is to help understand what you all need and make things better. So anything that we're doing well, you want more of, anything we're not doing so well, you want less of, let me know. We have places where you can file bugs or suggestions of things you would like us to do. The user voice is where we had a couple thousand votes for the dark theme, and we did the dark theme. So we do, I read everything that's posted on user voice. And we have a great community on the forums. So please check that out too. Yeah, so who learned something from this talk? Who learned two somethings from this talk? Who learned lots of somethings from this talk? Great. And who still has questions? If you still have questions, come and catch me outside, because I slightly overran the time. But I'm going to be outside for the next hour. Then I'll be in the Darwin Lounge till 8, so just come and find me.